It's a new year. How many know we have a new year, a new opportunity to live out our faith? We have a new opportunity to live out our faith. And so we've been talking about Egypt and coming out of Egypt and the wilderness journeys. And in all of my years, 42 years of serving the Lord and preaching, I don't know that I've studied intensively the wilderness journeys as I have in this series. And I am enjoying it. And I hope you are. God delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. If you want to put that in today's kind of context, God delivered you and me out of sin and bondage and slavery. Can you say amen to that? So it's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to fight devils and stay saved. So God told Israel, hey, I'm going to bring you out. And God always brings you out of something to bring you into something better, right? And so in the wilderness, we ended up 2 years now moving through lesson one. We said God brought us out to take us into the promise. And he said, what I take you out of is different than what I'm bringing you into. Canaan land in heaven is far greater than anything this world can have. So Canaan is kind of not a type of heaven. It's kind of a type of victory and walking in victory with Christ. That's what Canaan land is. And it's still on earth. How many know heaven is nothing earthly about heaven? Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. I wish some people who want to go to heaven would shout with me this morning. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. Amen. You got to go to children's church to learn that song. But because Jesus is leading us in the wilderness, it's a different journey. Canaan, he said, I'm sending you there. I've got plans for you there. I've already given you the land. I gave it to your forefathers, and I'm giving it to you. And now they're on the cusp of it. They're on the edge of Kadesh Barnea. They are past Sinai. They're past the Red Sea. Are y'all with me? This is their opportunity, and God's got them there. And so, you know, he already warned them. He already told them. He said, I care about you. That was our first lesson. My eyes are on you. I want you to keep on moving. I want you to fight. I want you to eradicate the enemy in that land. I want you to fight. Take the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the termites. I want you to take them all out of there. I mean, no, God doesn't want any flesh and any sin to hinder your walk with him. So he cared about them. And from the beginning, I loved it. It said from the beginning of the year, even to the end of the year, the victory was in front of you. So he said, move forward. The second lesson, it was under the cloud. How many of you remember that one? Under the cloud. Get under the cloud. When the cloud gets up and from the tabernacle moves forward, that was what the people of God were to do. When God moves, you move. It's incredibly important on your journey with Christ to learn how to move with the Spirit, how to move in the Spirit, how to listen to the voice of God. How, when you see God rise, his enemies will be scattered. You can go forward. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be intimidated. When God arises, how many know his enemies are scattered? So that's what Moses said. Hey, God has gotten up. He woke up. He doesn't sleep. How many know God neither slumbers nor sleeps? God's not asleep while you're trying to fight devils. He's wide awake. I said, the Bible says that God doesn't sleep. So why should both of y'all stay up all night? You go on to sleep like a baby. How many know God's got this? The battle belongs to the Lord. So he said, listen, I want to go with you. Don't regard the Red Sea that you can't seem to cross. Seem to cross. Somebody shout, seem. See, the enemy makes you think you can't. He always makes an obstacle in front of you that you can't seem to overcome. It doesn't seem like you're going to make it. It doesn't seem like you're going to get the victory. But how many know the devil is a liar? He said you can't seem to cross it. He also said when the Lord stops, you stop. You can't seem to fight the enemy that's taken over you, taken over your mind. Hey, a lot of people are attacked in the kingdom. I said God's people are constantly viciously attacked because there are evil in the land. Just because God gave you the land doesn't mean the evil is gone. You have to take possession of the land and eradicate the enemy. So he says, whenever I get up, you get up, and trust me. Then today I want to talk about the grasshopper mindset. I'll just let them do their thing. I'm not going to try to go backwards, but if you slide to the next slide and try to get on, there you go. It says in Numbers 13 where we're going to be today, we seemed like, this was the perception for the Israelites. This is what it seemed like. There were so many things going on in the land. We looked like, seemed like grasshoppers. And look at this, in our own eyes, can I tell you the only thing worse than deception is self-deception? The only thing worse than somebody tripping you up is to trip yourself up. And so God said, I'm going to give you the land, but you got to get rid of this grasshopper syndrome. It's a mindset, and fear and timidity will hold you out and grab a hold of you, and you won't be able to progress in your future. And so Israel was tied to their past. They were very vulnerable. They felt like they were unable to grab a hold of what God had in their future or in their present because they had a slave mindset, a grasshopper mentality. And God was trying to set them up in the promise, go, possess the land I'm giving you, and clean out the enemy. That's the three commands, very simple. His promise becomes our opportunity. I want you to say that with me. God's promise becomes my opportunity. Say it again. God's promise becomes my opportunity. Here's their opportunity. They're at the gate. God's going to give them the land. All they have to do is go in and take it. That's what the setup is. And he said, the place I'm calling you, this pagan land I got you out of, is not going to be the same as the land I'm bringing you into. From the pagan land to the promised land. So it started with Abraham, remember? He called him out of Ur of the Chaldeans. Abraham was in a pagan land with pagan gods and pagan people. And God spoke to him. How many glad God delivered you and brought you out of something? He said, I want you to go into this land. What land? I'll tell you when you get there. How would you like those instructions? He goes home, tells Miss Sarah, Sarah, pack your bags. Where are we going, honey? I don't know. But God said, go. Okay, man of God, here we go. Have you ever had to go in faith? Not really knowing all the different details? Well, that's hard for us, isn't it? It's easy to have faith when you know all the details. But we got to move forward in this place of calling and move in faith. He said to Abraham, arise and walk in the land, its width and its length, and I will give it to you and your descendants after you. That's the first promise. That's the first promise. So the promise has already been given. Then he gives it again to Moses, right? It took 400 years. Look what he said. The first promise in Genesis 15. He specifically named the land of promise and what was in the land. He said, there you will face the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. All of these enemies of God, pagan people, are in the land that I'm giving you. But you go and get it and eradicate them evil out of that land. Are you seeing this? And so it took 400 years for the promise even to begin, and God heard their cry of Israel, and Moses helped them out in Exodus, and they went up out of the land of Egypt into a good land, a large land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Woo! I love to preach about the land flowing with milk and honey. I like to drink a lot of milk. I don't really like honey. But Melissa makes me drink it when I get a sore throat. A lot of it. She makes me down it. But so 2 years have gone by, and now we're in Numbers 13. I think it's on the screen. Let's see if we can look at it. The Lord said to Moses, send someone, some men, to explore the land of Canaan, which I am given to the Israelites from each ancestral tribe. Send one of its leaders. So they went up and they explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob toward Lebo Hamath. And they went up through the Negev and came to the Hebron, where Ahiman and Shishai and Talmai and the descendants of Anak lived. Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And when they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them, carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and some figs. And that place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut off there. And the end of the 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole community in Kadesh Barnea, and they reported to them the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land, and they gave Moses its account. And we went into the land which you sent to us, and it does flow with milk and honey, and here is the fruit. Do you have a picture of the fruit? Woo! Look at them grapes. That's bigger grapes than Sam's Wholesale. Now, I took two pictures because the grapes on the right seem to be AI. I don't know if they were that big. They could be. But the grapes on the left looked a little bit more like reality. That's just one cluster of grapes, but it took two men. Scholars say it could weigh up to about 20 pounds per cluster of grapes. That's the land flowing with milk and honey. But I want you to know something. When it wasn't God's idea to go and spy out the land. God told them, go into the land. He told them who was in the land. He told them what to do in the land. He told them what to get the enemy out of the land. He told them the land was flowing with milk and honey. It's a wonderful land, a large land. It's a blessed land. It's your land. Go get it. But the Israelites said, hey, maybe we can get and spy out the land and check it out. Can I tell you what? Doubt has already entered in their heart. If you don't have to go and check up upon God, it's not like God didn't do his homework. It's not like God was trying to keep something from them. He told them exactly what was in the land. And he gave them a command. All they had to do was go in faith and anointing and obedience and take the land. He said, I will go with you. Trust me, I've got this. How many ever have served the Lord long enough to know you can trust the Lord? I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. Amen? We just sang about it. That's why I trust him. And so now they are there, 2 years, and the promise is given, the law is given, the tabernacle is built, the priesthood is established, right? Tribes are numbered, manna is given, cloud by day, fire by night. They came through all of that, and an army of Egypt is destroyed. And they're standing on this, and so it wasn't God's idea. It was their idea. God said, hey, the deal I made with Abraham, the deal's still on. Hey, Max, the deal's still on. I come to tell you, Oak Grove, this morning, the covenant God made with Abraham is still the covenant for you and me. Because he made it with Moses. Then he made it with Isaac and Jacob and Moses and David. And he's still making his promise available to you and me. God doesn't lie. He's a God that never fails. He's a God that keeps his promise. You can trust him. The deal's still on. So they send all these, one leader, male, from each of the 12 tribes. 12 men, including Joshua and Caleb. They went. 12 went all together. And they come back, and the details of the report are in Deuteronomy 1, and you can see it as well. But I wanted you to know it wasn't God's idea. Can you say amen to that? So the command was go. Moses says, send men to spy out the land. We just read it. They come back with some grapes, as Moses told them, bring a little sample. How many like samples from Sam? I like me some samples. Sometimes I go to Sam's, I ain't even got to buy nothing. I just feel like a snack. 12 men went 250 miles one way into this land. And they came back with this report. Verses 27 through 29 is the report. We went. There's fruit. Good so far. The land is flowing with milk and honey. It's big. Everything God said it was. Right? And everybody's in unanimous agreement. It's awesome. It's fruitful. As the Lord said, grapes, pomegranates, figs. Then they use this word. It's a word Jesus used at Gethsemane, but they use it in reverse. Nevertheless. Nevertheless, even though God said go, Pastor Mark, even though we saw the lamb was good. We tasted of the fruit. We brought back this fruit. And there's pomegranates the size of your head. And there's grapes. And there's figs. We are blessed. Nevertheless, then came the negative talk. Nephilim are there, or giants. We don't stand a chance, they said. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes and in theirs. They didn't see what they really needed to see. They saw the land. They saw the grapes. They saw the giants, but they didn't see God. I mean, God was the number one thing you need to get in your vision. If you're going to make it in 2025, how many know if you're going to move forward in obedience in 25, you got to get your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your race. You can't let anything besides God and his presence keep you from his promise. They didn't see God. Failure is inevitable, they said. We're going to die here. How would you like to be with that bunch? I mean, that's just pitiful. 12 men. 10 came out with bad news. 2 came out with good news. What happened to the 10? What happened? Well, they adopted an assumption instead of a revelation. They assumed. I mean, that's not a good thing to do. They assumed that the giants in the land that God already told them was there was going to take them over, and they were incapable of possessing the land, which is exactly opposite of what God said. How many know it's always good to go with God? Because the assumption leads to fear. Assumption apart from revelation of God leads to fear and unbelief. If I were taking notes, I would write that down. Assumption apart from God's revelation leads to fear and unbelief. And so they were no longer slaves in Egypt, but remained slaves in their own mind. With a grasshopper mentality, with a small thinking, with a small mind and small faith. They developed a grasshopper mindset, and fear gripped their hearts and started to grip the hearts of the people. But how many know one plus God is a majority? The majority here, what happened, 10 spies, smart, the best of the clan, right? The leaders. And they came back with a fearful report and made the hearts of everybody else. I want to help you today. The fear in your heart, when you speak with your mouth, brings fear in somebody else's. I'll never forget Miss Carol's testimony when her and her first husband was in Africa and the missiles were flying over, or maybe it was Albania. I don't remember where it was. Anyway, missile was flying over the little apartment they were in, and they were laying on the floor underneath the window. And Carol said to Jim, are you scared? And Jim said, of course I'm scared. And Carol said, oh, no, you can't be scared. Now I'm really scared. How many know it's contagious? Fear is contagious. But you know what else is contagious? God kind of faith is contagious. If you have to waste your breath and waste your words, how many know you ought to put them on faith in God that my God is able to take the land and give us the victory? See, they had this problem. But Caleb spoke up in verse 30. So Caleb quieted the people. Somebody say quieted. He quieted the people and said, let's go right now. Let's take them right now, for we are well able to overtake. What a difference. Two different options. The way of fear or the way of faith. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to take the Caleb option. I want to go with the people of faith. Hey, listen, if God's going to help Oak Grove accomplish something in 2025, I mean, it's going to be done by people of faith who learn how to speak faith, who believe faith, who walk in faith and obedience and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and do what God's called us to do. That's the option, the Caleb option. But sad story here today. I hope we can finish when I get back on a positive note, but I'll try to lighten it up a bit. Your mouth can get you in trouble. Not only you, but everybody around you. Have you ever been with negative termites? That's the other tribe I forgot to mention. The termites. And the majority prevailed, and that's what the loudmouth majority can do. In our culture, in our nation today, there's a loudmouth minority who's making the majority feel with fear. It's what our media does today. Fear mongers. They put panic in the lives of everybody. None of us are going to make it. There won't be any Social Security. There won't be an America. There's nobody going to make it. The rapture's coming and nobody's gone. I mean, no, that's a little bit ridiculous. Because I still believe if the rapture comes, I'm going. Hey, anybody here in the rapture bunch? Anybody want to take the Caleb option and go in the rapture? You stay here and be raptured if you want. But I'm going in the rapture, amen? That's why, because God said I would. And so 12 spies, listen to this. They saw the same thing that Caleb and Joshua saw. They came out with the same fruit, and 10 came out with fear and caused everybody else. It's a 400-year-old promise that they talked themselves out of. It's one thing for somebody else to trick you, manipulate you. But how many know there really is a real devil who's always trying to talk you out of everything God's telling you to do? It's always the case. And they talked themselves out of it. The result, they spent the night weeping and woke up in the morning complaining. That sounds like miserable. I said, that sounds like a miserable state to be in. But it's concluded because of a mentality without faith. A grasshopper mentality. A grasshopper mentality. And so I want us to be able to come out of this lesson today to counterattack that idea, that mentality. If only we had did, listen to what they said. If they would have just did what God asked, they would have had the victory. God would have been with them. How many know God would have helped them take away the Amalekites and all the Hittites and the Jebusites? God, the battle belongs to the Lord. It wasn't in your own strength. The Holy Spirit anointing is the one that breaks the bondage and takes care of the enemy. It's not you and me. We don't do anything. We just walk in obedience. And what do you do when your faith runs out and all you have left is obedience? I'm here to tell you, sometimes your faith will sell you out. Sometimes you'll look at the enemy being larger than the Lord that's inside of you. How many know greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? God's got victory for you. But if you let your obstacles and your problems get bigger than your God, you're going to develop a small mindset. And after 400 years, they began to weep all night and complain in the morning. And they said this, if only we had died in the wilderness. What? Let me tell you what suicide is. Suicide is a permanent decision for a temporary problem. I don't think they heard me, brother. Can you kick it up a notch? Suicide is a permanent decision for a temporary problem. And they committed spiritual suicide. They actually killed the dream and the vision and the promise because they refused to obey and walk in obedience. And so Moses and Aaron, what did they do? They fell on their face. I think they were just overwhelmed. The people began to weep and cry, and they just fell. Moses and Aaron fell on their face. I don't know if they fell in shame or if they fell in shock. But the leaders fell on their face because the people said, we're never going to be able to do this. Can I tell you, it's hard to lead a bunch that don't think they can go anywhere. Have you ever tried to lead a herd of cats? I can't hardly lead one, much less a whole herd of them. And Moses and Aaron fell on their face, and Joshua and Caleb, they tore their clothes and pleaded for them to trust God. Doesn't that sound like a sad story? I mean, the men of God, two came back with a positive report, said, don't do that. Let's go right now. Let's go. Give me this land. We can do this. We're well capable. God is on our side. And no matter how much faith they trusted and how much faith they preached, and how much power God had, they denied that the Lord could do it. And they chose the negative report. And guess what they got? The death sentence. Chapter 14, 27 through 35. I think I want to read it. Go to chapter 14. I'm sorry. I just want to read it because this is the results. Chapter 14 of Numbers. Are you there? Verse 27. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation? Evil. Evil. It's a big word. How shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Hey, Moses, you say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will speak in your hearing. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to the entire number, from 20 years old and above. So everybody who was in the next generation, 20 years old and under, were able to go in. But the 20 years and above, this is their death sentence. Except for Caleb, the son of Jephthah, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Two of them got away with it because they had a positive report. You shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I'm going to bring them in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. Your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years and bear the brunt of your infidelity. God calls it infidelity, unfaithfulness, until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness. According to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days it took them to spy out the land, so he gave them 1 year for every day. 40 years. 40 years. 2 years on the verge of taking the victory, and because they believed a wicked report, a negative report, God gave them a sentence of 38 more years, not wandering aimlessly all over the land. 38 years at Kadesh Barnea, right here. They're going nowhere. They're going to do nothing. And how many know that's what a spirit of unbelief and doubt and fear will do? It will paralyze you. It will stop you from moving forward. And folks, our theme this year is moving forward. And I need some people to get some faith in God and open their mouth with positive confession and faith-filled tongue that says, we will take the victory. We are going forward. Oh, but Pastor, what about this? I don't care. What about that? I don't care. It takes money. How many know God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? Don't let money stop you. This is powerful. They chose to believe the negative report and got a death sentence because they saw the problem when Caleb and Joshua saw the promise. What do you see? What is God setting you up for in 2025? I'm here to tell you, don't be intimidated. Don't be discouraged by what appears to be, what seems to be. I know it seems like the obstacles are overbearing. But hey, wasn't the Red Sea overbearing? Wasn't a mighty army of Pharaoh pretty overbearing? And how did they come through that? By the strong arm of God. And the same God who can take care of burying Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea, I mean, oh, he can take care of the future. Just got to move forward. Somebody shout, move forward. Don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated. You can miss your moment because of the wrong identity. The wrong identity. You know, today a lot of people are saying, I identify as this. Listen to me. I don't care if you identify as a dog. Doesn't mean you have a tail. You can even start barking, but doesn't make you a dog. You better identify what God says you are, not who you think you are or who you seem to be like. You got to get a hold of yourself. How many know the anointing of God is always there to give you self inward strength? The anointing of God is not for you to be happy or comfortable. God didn't give you the land so you can go be comfortable. He gave you the land to take it, possess it. It's God's land. Go get it for me. Go get it. I'll take care of the enemy. You just go. And that's what we have to do. Just walk in that kind of faith and confidence. Otherwise, we'll have the wrong identity. We seem like grasshoppers in their sight, in ours too. What a bad day. They're not, listen, turn to your neighbor and say, you're not a grasshopper. You might have cricket ways, but you're not a grasshopper. You're not a grasshopper. Hey, Oak Grove pastor came to tell you, you're not a grasshopper. I don't care what giants you might be facing. You're a giant because you belong to God. How many know God? God is supreme and all powerful. But they had the wrong identity. They had a past experience that they couldn't get over. And if you look back, God was there. Their present circumstances looked not promising. But how many know God is already there? Maybe things don't look promising for you. Maybe you're losing heart. That's when I want you to exchange your faith for the anointing of the Holy Spirit and walk in obedience. Sometimes your faith can't get you where you want to go, but obedience will put one foot in front of the other, and you just keep on walking. I wish somebody would help me here. Just keep on walking. Keep on marching and close your mouth. Oh, y'all want me to finish this, don't you? We got to get to that part then. You need the anointing of God to strengthen your insides when you see giants outside. So what's the challenge of the lesson, Pastor? Keep silent because your victory is in progress. I don't know if you've ever been to Cox South. As soon as you get off the elevator, they have a little girl. Shh. People are sleeping. There's sick people in here resting. They must have knew I was coming. And I get off the elevator, hallelujah, glory to God. How's everybody doing here? You're not supposed to be sleeping in a hospital. You're supposed to be getting well. Get you out of here. Amen? I mean, no, hospital's not for you to stay. Hospital for you to visit and get out. If you're getting comfortable with it, hey, more power to you. But the challenge is, keep silent. Don't appoint a committee to check out what God already told you was true. They didn't need a committee to spy out the land. God already told them all about it. You know what a committee is? A committee is a group of people that together agree that nothing can be done. And apart from each other, guarantee it won't be done. And so in your future, you need to do is move forward in faith with your eyes open and your mouth closed. There's some things you'll face that faith will run out. Watch what you say. Watch your mouth. You know you got to train your brain to tell your mouth what to say. How many ever open your mouth and mess your head up? And not only your head up, but everybody else around you. What you say is powerful. Proverbs 18, life and death are in the power of the tongue. It matters. I said it matters what you're saying in your camp. And that report from those 10 got everybody hysterically nervous and afraid. And I told you that Caleb had a different option. He said, don't rebel. God will see us through. He will protect us, for they have no covering. They don't have a chance. Caleb said, hey, let's do this. You have a covering with God. Does anybody here believe that God covers his people? Anybody here believe the favor of God will protect you from your enemies? Then go on in. But they chose not to believe that. The Caleb, though, Joshua and Caleb had faithfulness and they had obedience because God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and Manasseh, Ephraim, and all the 12 tribes, I'm going to go with you. He had faith and confidence because God performed miracles in front of them. The Red Sea, the pillar of fire, the manna to eat, the quail. Quail! First it was manna and quail, then it was just, manna, and then they just said, we need meat now. I mean, no, God's people can be downright spoiled, rotten. God's been so good to you that you begin to, I don't know, you just get to be numb and complacent. And, you know, act as though you deserve it. How many know you have breath in your lungs? You ought to be thanking the Lord today because it only comes from the Lord himself. But they got to this place. He gave them water from a rock, and got the leader discouraged a bit. Struck it twice. God didn't say strike. How many know God's serious about what he says? Just do what God says. Don't do extra. You don't need to help God out. You don't need to get a committee. You don't have to gather this. You don't have to do a research. Just walk forward. Trust him. He will help you. Pastor, how can I get rid of this grasshopper mindset? Because it really, they hesitated 38 years. I mean, his presence is going with them, right? The deal's still on. I said, come on now. The deal's still on. He's still God. Put your boots on, put your armor on, and shut your mouth. That ought to got to shout amen right there. I know you don't like it, but that's the word of God. It's just in Ron Moran vernacular. Okay. So, Pastor, with these three realities, we ought to be able to do it. How can I get rid of a mindset like that? Number one, quit selling yourself short. Quit minimizing what God can do in your life. Trust God. Chrissy spoke to the ladies on Friday night. Audacious faith. How many know God gives us faith? Trust God. Just go ahead all the way. No reason to doubt that God can't. Quit selling yourself short, minimizing what God can do with you. I believe our church can grow. Come on, church. How many believe we can grow? Well, Pastor, look around. Look around. We have to rope off the sides. Can't nobody come. I mean, no, that's a devil. If you would just get up in the morning and show up at church instead of, if you talk to your neighbors and say, hey, it's awesome going to church. I can't wait to go to church. You ought to get in Sunday school. You ought to get in Sunday night. You start talking positive, somebody might come. But you mope around and complain, and I don't care. I believe we have to go to church. It's so cold outside. Can't believe it's snowing. I can't believe it's not snowing. That's one of the things about last weekend that I was conflicted about. If I make a call to cancel service, I'm condemned. If I make a call to have service, I'm condemned. But you know what I've decided? I'm just going ahead and be condemned. Because we're going to do the best we can to lead God's people. And some going to complain, and some going to whine, and some going to put their boots on and faith, and they're just going to march on. We can do something for God in 2025. I still believe it. What else do you believe, Pastor? I still believe revival's coming to America. Come on, how many still believe that God can sweep a mighty revival over this nation and this church? Half of us, maybe not even that many. Because we don't talk when we should talk, and we talk when we shouldn't. Amen. So get rid of it. We have the manpower, we have the communication power, we have the gospel power. All we need is willpower. Get up and do something. Quit complaining and whining about what you can't do and trust God for what you can do. Because Philippians says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Never minimize what God can do. Faith in God and his plan and his word. Faith in God himself. The difference. Listen, there's a difference between tired and empty. You know, I've been tired. How many have ever been tired? And you know, we're almost 80 years old. Maybe we're tired. But let me tell you the difference between empty and being tired. Being tired, you just go ahead and take a nap. Refresh yourself. And get on up and get back to work. Amen? But when you're empty, you got to get down to the altar and ask God the Holy Ghost to fill you up again. To empower you, to help you, because we can't do this on our own. Got to keep on moving in faith to let the Lord's anointing strengthen us to win the battle, because the battle belongs to the Lord. So this people, the Bible says, this people will be a sign and a warning forever that a grasshopper mentality will kill your dreams. Hebrews 3 and 12 and 14. Take care, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, an unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. They fell away from the living God. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast to the beginning of our assurance, firm unto the end. It's not how we start this, it's how we end. And right there, 38 years, 38 more elongated years. 38 more tired, complaining, whining years. Who was buried in the promised land? Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Joseph. You understand? All the patriarchs are in the land. It's the land that God promised. Are y'all hearing me? Why wouldn't you want the land? Why wouldn't you progress further? Joshua had his happen, you know, in time past. He wasn't no longer, after the 38 years, they got to the place where Moses died and Joshua took the lead and God told him to cross Jordan and take Jericho. Here we are again. I mean, no, life is like that, isn't it? Just one Jericho after another. And still taking the land. After 38 years. I want you to see this because this time, Joshua got everybody ready, got the command from the Lord. And the command was, Joshua told the people, to march around the walls, and then he gave them a divine restriction. March around the walls, and this time, give them this divine restriction. Open not your mouth. Walk around. Walk around every day. On the last day, seven times. But don't you dare open your mouth. Here's why. Because God knew the natural inclination in our hearts is to open up our trap and talk negative. It's natural. I mean, we see things and it seems like this. It seemed like truth. Can I tell you? You need to find out what is real truth than what looks like truth, a counterfeit truth. He said, march, do not speak a word, keep silent, there is a victory in progress. God knew we have a natural inclination to talk ourselves out of victory and into fear. You are not a grasshopper. I want to read one more scripture. It's Isaiah 40, 22. It says, God sits on the circle of the earth, and earth's people are like grasshoppers in his sight. In other words, the Israelites looked at these Anakim, or Rephaim, actually, because I'm not going to do a study on giants here. But the flood should have took care of the giants pre-flood. Are you with me? But the pre-flood giants, some scholars believe, were fallen angels married to earthly women and produced these giant-sized people. But the flood came. But who's to say that those same spirits engaged in women on earth in Canaan and other places, Rephaim, Anakim, and they become giants again. We know there's one when we get to David's life. But what did David do? Did he cower down? The whole army of Israel and King Saul were shaking in their boots, and one little boy with a little bit of faith and a little bitty sling and just one stone took out the biggest giant in the land. Big bully. So if it's symbolism, I want you to understand, Satan is nothing but a big bully who talks talk. And if he can't get you to talk, he'll try to influence you to talk his language apart from the plan and the promise and the will and the word of God. That's why when Peter said, I will never betray you, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. You will never stop the plan of God. Don't open your mouth like that, boy. You don't know what you're talking. And I'm just tired of Christians falling prey to a cowardice kind of spirit, a grasshopper mentality that says we're never going to make it. I believe God's going to grow the church. I could be dead in the grave, but how many know when God gives a promise, the promise always stands the test of time? 38 more years. Pastor, that's a long time. Hey, just because it's delayed doesn't mean the promise is denied. Well, they go into the promised land and the conquest of Canaan with Joshua and Caleb, who were able to go in, Max, and God took Jericho. I say God took Jericho. You know why? Because he shut them up. All they could do was walk and obey. And it'd be a good idea today, the lesson for today, silence your mouth. We have a victory in progress. Shut up and walk. Trust God. Trust God. Don't open your mouth And I know you're facing natural obstacles. I know there's giants. I know there's nobody denied that. Even Joshua and Caleb said there was giants. But they weren't going to let the giants in the land stop them from the promise and the giant that God is. Amen? They move forward, spoke in faith. There are some man-made obstacles. You know, sometimes people are putting obstacles in front of you. Sometimes you're putting obstacles in front of yourself. Hey, don't kill yourself. Don't hinder your own self from progress. Don't develop a defeatist, grasshopper, small-thinking mindset. Believe God for big things in 2025 and move forward in faith. I love the story, Chrissy and them coming back to the platform, but I love the story of a evangelist in the Assemblies of God was preaching, and he was on the highway, like 65, and he could see the church where he was going to preach at, off in the distance, could see the steeple. It was only a half a mile, a quarter of a mile from the exit. He ran out of gas. The man of God ran out of gas. Can you imagine that? Some of you believe men of God just walk up, wake up, just speak to their gas tank, be filled, and there it is. I mean, no, we have struggles just like you. The man of God ran out of gas, Pastor Mark. And so he gets out of the car and he lays his hand like a man of God would on the gas tank. And he said, Lord, if you'll just give me one quart of gas, I can make it. I can see the church from here. About that time, an 18-wheeler tanker truck pulled up. Window rolls down and the trucker said, hey, is there anything I can do to help you? How many know God got 5,000 gallons of gas and you're asking for it? One quart. You got to get something in your spirit this morning. You got to develop an attitude that says, I trust God over my obstacles, natural, man-made, intellectual, emotional. I've got to keep on walking because God's promises are true. Would you stand with me this morning? Here's some promises maybe you forgot. God said, if you go and preach in my name, I will be with you. Matthew 28. He said, if you preach my word will not return void to me. Jeremiah 55. He said, if you plant and somebody else waters, I will give the increase. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 4. Through me, you can do all things. And 1 Corinthians 15. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I don't know, maybe somebody's tired today. Maybe you're giving up. Maybe your passion is lean, you know. Maybe there's a hole in your bucket. But how many know God, the Holy Spirit, wants to fill you this morning? If we're going to take the land, if we're going to possess what God has for us in 2025, we're going to have to come and fill up full of the power and dependence of God. We want you to pray. We want you to come. I know you got to go. You got to rush out of here to go to nowhere, to do nothing. But I'm asking you to spend a moment or two in the presence of the Lord and ask God, Lord, if I have a mindset that is haughty, arrogant, not flexible, unteachable, always complaining, always condemning, shunning positive people, always trying to one-up people with a critical spirit, if I'm always instigating problems and aggravating and minimizing the greater good for my own benefit. Lord, if I'm self-absorbed, if I'm always falsely accusing leaders, if I have a victim mentality, if I'm a pessimist, if I'm full of excuses, if I'm ungrateful, unappreciative, help me, Lord, to be more opportunistic. No more excuses. Help me to seize the moments, the opportunity in front of me. Humble me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Help me to stop blaming everyone and everybody. Help me to be a problem solver, to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm choosing the Caleb option this morning.